Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Carmen Miro, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, Lynn Buchanan will talk about controlled remote viewing. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-presenters. Steve, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, Carmen. Very excited to listen to your interview with Mr. Buchanan. He's absolutely fascinating.
Fabulous. Have you heard of him? I think that many of us are very familiar with his work.
I've been reading about him and his work and Project Stargate, etc., and remote viewing for years. So this is a wonderful evening.
Thank you. And tell us a little bit about yourselves, please. Tell us about yourself, please, Steve.
Sure, Carmen. Well, my name is Steve, as you said, and I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer with Psychic Access. And as Maureen always says, I love my work and I love participating in the radio show every Thursday evening.
Wonderful. And love to have you here. You also bring in some really interesting topics. Thank you, Steve. So I am going to ask you, Maureen. Hello, welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Carmen. I'm looking forward to your show.
Thank you. Maureen, what do you do? I know, but maybe some of our guests don't.
I do the dishes. I vacuum very well. And I'm an intuitive psychic empath, and I am well-versed in helping people help themselves and relationships and business. The business stuff. And I work at Psychic Access alongside of you guys.
That's wonderful. I love the heartfelt way you put it. And that's very, very,
thank
very
you.
Genuine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stephen, thanks for joining us too. Tell us about yourself and your work.
Well, I am a tarot reader and an astrologer, and I also enjoy instructing people in these disciplines as well. And that's an approach that I take here on the radio show and also in the blogs that I author for psychicbloggers.com, which is an excellent resource. I know a lot of you guys have dozens of articles up there as well. So in addition to writing articles for Psychic Access, I also consult with clients on their relationship problems. And when I say relationship, I mean not only just romantic relationships, but business relationships, family relationships, any kind of relationship. And I enjoy what I do very much.
Well, thank you. Yes. And Stephen, you're extremely gifted. So thank you for imparting us with all your knowledge.
My pleasure.
So tonight's show, it's going to be a little bit of an interesting take. Lynn Buchanan is one of the remote viewers of the now declassified military program called Stargate. He's also the author of a book called The Seventh Sense. So specifically, Lynn was a trainer and remote viewer or an official psychic for this program. This program was intended to find both military targets and victims or locations. Controlled remote viewing is seen as a highly specific scientific method, and we will be discussing some of the ways it was utilized. Lynn's company now is still in operation, training, and offering pro bono services, and it is called Problems, Solutions, and Innovations. Good evening, Lynn. Are you here right now?
I'm here.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us. And thank you for coming in to help educate us and inspire us.
Well, thank I hope, you. You know, hope I can help some.
Lynn, I was just fascinated by your work, and I probably also had somewhat of a different impression of what you did because of, you know, some of the things that we keep hearing across the world on the internet about different forms of psychic work.
Yeah.
And what I found interesting about your different sources or different websites was they all described it very differently. Please tell us a bit about yourself. And I'd love to ask with this one very important question. And why did you get into the military?
Why in the military?
Yes, because you're such an intelligent man. You've got psychology, you have languages, and you definitely seem intellectual as well. Specifically, was that of just what your interests were? It's just partly my interest in your aspirations or your personality as well.
Well, it's a sort of a personal story, but I was teaching German in East Texas, and the superintendent of the school systems was crooked, to say the least. I caught him beating up children, and it was a small, I mean, with fists and everything, and it was a small little town, and that got me into small town politics, and finally, I had been in the Army National Guard, and finally I just decided, hell with this. I went ahead and went active service and got myself out of there. My family was in danger. We were in danger. I mean, all kinds of threats and attacks and everything else. And so that's how I got into the military. And I was a German linguist. Went in as a German linguist, and in standard military style, they said, "Oh, you're fluent in German? Good. We're going to send you to Russian school." And so I wound up in Russian school, and that wound me up in, of all places, Germany. And when I was over there, the incidents happened that got me into the remote viewing unit.
It's fascinating. It seems like a pure motivation, and I really respect that. So you probably found out that you were very good at caring for people, and you had to channel that into something more constructive.
Yeah, I always have, and I've always been very protective of my students. And when I found out what was going on with this superintendent in this small town, and that he was doing what he was doing to the children, I had to do something. And small town politics being what they are, I found they wound up leaving.
Yeah, I understand. And so that brought you into this fascinating program that started in the late 70s, or is that correct, Lynn?
It started in sort of a vague form in the mid-60s, worked its way into the 70s, and officially started in the early 70s. I got into it in the early 80s, and it was dissolved, so to speak, in the early 90s.
And now, for all of us that are curious about this, please give us a little tiny insight as to what this operation was about.
Okay. On the internet, you will find all kinds of claims about remote viewing and remote viewing teaching and teachers and so forth. Basically, what happened was in the early 90s when this became public, basically, everybody who was a psychic started calling themselves a remote viewer and teaching remote viewing classes, and most of them, or a lot of them, started claiming connections with the military and so on, just to give themselves a more, you know, a better reputation. The fact is that in the early and mid-60s, a man named Ingo Swann started working with the Stanford Research Institute developing a method whereby the subconscious mind could talk to the conscious mind clearly. And what they found out was that just like in any martial art, the subconscious and conscious don't talk to each other, but they both talk to the body. And so they developed what is actually a physical martial art, which will let the subconscious mind pass messages through the body, and you can look at the results and say, oh, I know what that means. For instance, you start out saying, with beginning students, you start out saying, draw me land, and they will generally draw a line. You say, draw water, and they'll generally draw waves and stuff like that. And you do this just like in karate or any other martial art. You do this repeatedly until it becomes such a habit that it's automatic. And then what happens is you can actually say to a person who is trained in this martial art, there's a target location, and it's location number 9504, and describe it. And, you know, on nothing more than that, their hand will automatically make a jiggle, and they look at it and they say, oh, well, I don't know what the place is, but I know there's land and water and something man-made on top of the water. And so the subconscious mind has actually made squiggles in a code that gives the information to the viewer. From that point on, you do other things that are also physical that will give you highly, highly detailed information. Now, that's called controlled remote viewing, and it's very much a physically based setup where the subconscious mind, which seems to have psychic ability, can pass messages to the conscious mind, and on cue, in fact. And generally what you see on the internet as remote viewing, not controlled remote viewing, but remote viewing, is psychic work. Some of it is very good. I wouldn't put it down, but it's all mental. It's not physically based. It's not a martial art. It's, you know, sitting there with your eyes closed or something and saying, you know, just whatever thoughts come to mind or whatever. And so it's all mental. The military's controlled remote viewing was actually a physical discipline.
So, like, what would happen? Like, you would have a tick, a muscle reflex?
Highly trained, yes. Uh-huh. And every tick, every muscle reflex, when you get into the higher stages, your mind will start passing you information through your other senses besides your muscles, and you will actually start smelling things at the sight, seeing things like in a daydream, hearing things, and so on. But this takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of being willing to just turn all of your senses over to your subconscious mind and get out of the way. And, you know, any martial artist, a kung fu fighter, gets into a fight. If he starts thinking consciously about what's going on, he's going to lose. But if he turns it over to his subconscious will know when to wax on, wipe off, and make all the moves that will protect him and win the fight. And so it's definitely a methodology that trains the subconscious mind to talk to the body, and the conscious mind just sort of sits back and watches and gets the pictures, gets the smells, gets the sounds, reports them, and in the process, the target event, location, or whatever gets thoroughly described.
And they will not have a political opinion, I assume.
Oh, right.
They would have
yeah.
no idea. It would be yeah. unbiased.
That's right. The political opinions and all that, they're purely conscious mind. The subconscious, you give it the responsibility of reporting the truth, and it takes that seriously and it reports the truth. One of the things we found also was that the subconscious mind not only knows what's going on around the world now and in the past and in the future, but also it knows where your car keys are, what your phone number was when you were 5 years old. It knows why you do those things you don't want to do, but you wind up doing them anyway, and so forth. And so because of that, many psychiatrists, psychologists, psychotherapists and all have started learning the controlled remote viewing in order to help them get into the conscious, subconscious mind of their patients and gain the truth from them.
Now, this brings me to the question of, I was listening to one of your interviews where you were talking about having gone into the mind of a dictator.
Yeah.
And of course, this one thing that I always struggle with when in our job we have to, and especially as an empath, because my work is a little different, I will emotionally assume their position. What
not,
makes
not
that person... Pardon me?
Not a good idea at all.
I know. What makes them good or bad? How does one define somebody under duress as good or evil?
Well, you don't. In controlled remote viewing, you don't. You simply report what's in their mind. And one of the beautiful things about controlled remote viewing is that you are asking your subconscious what's in the mind and the emotions and the motivations and all that of, say, some foreign leader. What are his plans and intentions of, you know, for the next week and so on? And the subconscious just reports it. And, I mean, you've asked it a question, it gives you an answer. And you don't have to get involved. But I know that with many, many natural psychics, especially the good ones, when they access a person mentally, they get what we call getting sucked in. And they come away needing to detox from it, you know, to get rid of the connections with that other person's emotions, thoughts, plans and intentions, and so on.
It's very challenging if you were surrounded by targets. So the some of my colleagues are asking questions already, and I wanted to also ask you, actually mention to our listeners that Lynn was also a good, great computer programmer, still is probably. You were part of the database management, and was that helpful in being able to ascertain statistical score points? Is that how you did it, or would it have been done question by question?
When we did our sessions and reported the information that we got, we would put that into a database in detail. And what we do now is we put it in one perception per line. And then we say, okay, this perception was red, that's a color. This perception was big, that's a size, and so on. And we just make a little note of what type of perception each perception was. Then later, when we get our feedback, we can look at the feedback, go and judge each perception on its own merit, And that's what goes into the database. And what comes out is information that says, hey, this viewer is really, really good at colors, but really stinks when it comes to being accurate at sizes or shapes or something like that. And in doing that, we make a profile of each viewer's strengths and weaknesses. Then let's say a police department comes in and says, we want to identify the getaway car. Okay. What color is it? You go to the viewer who is good at colors and have him do the session only on colors. He may have an average accuracy of, say, 70%, but he's 90% correct in colors. Okay. Then the shape of the car, you go to a person who has 90% accuracy in shapes. Okay. And in doing that, you can take a team of remote viewers who are fairly average and get extremely detailed and dependable information from them.
So that's fascinating. So it's like they have an array of people that they can utilize. And how big was this team at the time, at its biggest point?
We never had more than 6 people.
So that you would be a core person, and they would occasionally bring in somebody of a better, sort of a different skill and so forth, or same 6 people.
We same 6 people all the time. And because we were a unit of 6 people, a complete military unit of 6 people, we all had, like they say, many hats. I was a viewer. I was the trainer of incoming people. I was the property book holder. I was signed for all the property. I was a training officer for a while. I was the database manager. And, you know, we all had many hats. But we ran a very efficient unit, and we did a lot of good. We saved a lot of lives.
I know. I can believe it. Now, one of the things you have in this kind of a team, I think, in terms of when people guard secrets, how did you guys manage? Surely there must have been a person in there that, this is what I wonder, is would a person in this team maybe have the power go to their head a little? What I see in the psychic culture, I'm sure I've been guilty of it too, is, you know, I can read their intentions, and to a certain extent, you know, that can become an invisible shield, a defense.
Yeah.
But how did, because that's a natural human reaction to knowing a secret, having a little bit of a defense power. How did you guys manage that kind of information?
We had psychological tests coming in, and very thorough psychological testing before we were ever allowed to even be read on to the unit to find out that there was a unit. Over the years of the military unit, we had, I think it was 18 viewers. Of those 18, there were only 2 who, like you say, have let it go to their head. And they have caused problems for the unit, and now they're out in the civilian area. Some of them, one of them is still causing all kinds of problems for the entire field. But the rest of us, we found out how much of the world we don't know. And for the rest of us, it was a very humbling experience, finding out things that we believed and that we were definite about and, you know, opinionated about, and wrong. And, we would find the truth, and we would sometimes say, oh no, what have I been thinking all these years? It was a very humbling situation.
That's a good word. I mean, the things you would have found out would have been probably hidden areas on the planet. I can imagine that must be amazing. I'm sure there must be islands we don't know about. UFOs, maybe, you know, extraterrestrials. You're an artist as well. So yes. You had to reflexively express that through your art, as from what I can see that you were doing. What else would you say would be an amazing thing without, you know, being able to jeopardize your work? What would you say would have been in the areas more fascinating for you that you can talk to us about?
I think one of the most fascinating things that I learned from all of this, you know, as far as a general principle, was that everything you've learned about time is wrong. Everything you've ever learned in school or in science class or everything about time, it's just not true. And you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, there is no time. Everything, you know, everything's happening at once and all. That's not true either.
No, I know.
We found out that in the controlled remote viewing, we could put a viewer someplace and we could say, okay, describe what's right in front of you. Now move back 10 feet. And the viewer would mentally move back 10 feet and start describing again. And we found out that there is no difference remote viewing wise between that and saying move back 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nor is there any difference between move forward 10 feet and move forward 10 years. And what we found was that time and space are not what you've always been told, and that time is not the fourth dimension. Time is actually three-dimensional itself. And in fact, you can go various directions in time rather than forward and back. Now that takes about 2 or 3 hours of explanation, and so I won't go into it, but it was one of the most amazing things to me.
Don't tell me there's an axis in time, like XYZ. Fascinating. That would make sense. And what about UFOs?
We were, okay, I'm going to be very picky with my words here, okay? We were never officially tasked to do any UFO activity. That doesn't mean that we weren't unofficially asked many times. and of course, when a four-star general or a senator asks, you don't say no. And so we did do UFO targets, ET targets and all that. And, you know, ET bases, landing sites, events and so on. But they were never officially governmentally tasked to our unit. And so the government stayed clean of it, but we were contacted as individuals now and then on, you know, from people in the government or whatever to do these kind of sites. And I found them to be very interesting sites.
I find that fascinating. You mean they kept you away from the more imaginative side of things and kept you based on humans?
No, they didn't keep us away from it. They just never officially tasked us with it.
Yeah.
They just never pushed us toward it.
Or not that you knew of, right?
Not that the viewers knew. Now, as the database manager, I always got the information about the project at the end to enter into the databases and write the final reports and so forth. And so, so I can absolutely say that the targets that were officially tasked to us were military, governmental, strategic, operational, and so on.
Now, you had this, in terms of your work with computers, you meant that, and I'd love to talk with you about this, we got into it a little bit. You were able to learn that you could affect computers. through your, not your emotional state, or through your CRV training?
I'm not clear. I had been doing this since I was about 12 years old, and you know, affecting things. When I was about 14, I'm kind of like Charlie Brown in many ways. There was this cute little redheaded girl, and I had developed a way of making one object go through another without leaving a hole, and I showed her this trick, and she was very impressed and went home and told her father, the Pentecostal minister. And so the next day, as I was walking home from school, he and three of his deacons met me on the sidewalk, introduced themselves, and asked to see it, as though they were extremely interested in, you know. And so I showed it to them, and immediately they slammed me down to the sidewalk, had their hands pressing my head into the sidewalk and screaming for the devil to come out of me and all this. And it just taught me on a very real basis that if you can do this stuff, you don't let people know. And it stayed with me for a long time. However, when I would get angry, this ability would come out, and things usually when I'm angry, bad things will happen around me. As a result, I wound up being one of these poltergeist kids. And as you know, instead of emotionally disturbed, I was always curious about it. I wanted to know why it worked, how it worked. And every time something happened like that, I would go investigate and try to science it out, you know. So anyway, when I was in the military, I was overseas, and I had written a computer program, and this other sergeant had decided that he wanted the job, but I got it. And so when I was demonstrating this program to the generals of 12 different countries, he came in and gimmicked up my program so that it failed. And I got flaming mad. And when I did, it cost the taxpayers of several countries many millions of dollars to replace equipment. Anyway,
I wonder if they have Psy insurance, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, the commanding general of the U.S. Intelligence Command got wind of it because he had people trained to pick up on things like this. And so he came out to the unit, out to Germany, where I was stationed, and grabbed me and just put me into, he wanted to start a unit that would, in the beginning, destroy enemy computers, but then along the way learn how to control what's in the computers so as to make their any missile they fire turn around and go back at them, lead their planes totally off course, and mess up their, you know, their computers generally for all different kinds of purposes. And Congress said, not no, but excuse the language, hell no. And so he had me in D.C., and he had already pulled me out of Germany. He had nothing to do with me because they wouldn't fund the project he wanted to start. So he took me by the remote viewing unit and just sort of dumped me in there. And listen, I've been glad that he did ever since. So just this has been the most natural and most exciting and the most interesting thing that I think any soldier could ever do. And as a civilian now, I'm still, I'm not surprised that much anymore by what my students can do. But if I ever quit being amazed by it, I'll go back to programming computers. There's more money in it anyway.
Oh, touche. So I'm going to put us through to an ad for 1 minute, and then we will be back and have additional questions for you.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
So, Lynn, this brings me to all kinds of interesting things here. Though I absolutely think that global warming is a reality, do you think that, you know, people like us or yourself could be affecting the weather?
People like us or... I think that it would be possible to affect those who are affecting the weather. How was that for a wording?
I'm finding that very interesting because I think that I can deduce what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
And this would bring me to the point of, okay, we're all wondering what that means. But do you think that it would be, let's say, an intelligent intention? Let's say to affect these things would be intelligent enough to be selective in its destruction. Is it compassionate? Is it kind? Can we trust it?
The people who are causing the global warming? I would
Those, I think we already have a problem with those. But in terms of, say, persons like yourself, I mean, surely if you were affecting systems, computer systems, or any kind of exterior matter around us, wouldn't that be intelligent? You see, I have found that, you know, when I do things wrong, or what could be considered wrong, that I haven't consciously decided to cause that event. Then the event occurs, and it just so happens that it's maybe the right type of event, and that I wouldn't have consciously have decided to have done that. That might, your unconscious is intelligently deciding that, yet if you put a bunch of people together...
Yeah.
But do you enlighten us, of course, we're all very intrigued by the weather and such. And now, it brings us back to the question here that some of my colleagues were asking in terms of what I wanted to bring in was, so were there any ethics involved in, because the CIA, those were early days still, actually very early days for the CIA. The CIA was only really officially created in the 50s, right? Do you give us a little history here of the how you guys came across remote viewing? Was it linked? Who discovered it first? Was there a remote link to Russia? Where were the origins in the Third Reich? And we have all these questions.
Yeah. Let me just give you the quick rundown of the total history. Adolf Hitler wanted to live forever, and he had read in the Bible that the Garden of Eden. The Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Do you know why, by the way, they were kicked out?
Apart from the rib, the kiss, her being a female, not really. I've read a few versions of it.
The Bible says that Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, lest they also eat of the tree of life and live forever.
Right, forgot that part.
Yeah. Hitler absolutely wanted to live forever and reign forever and so forth, and he believed this, and so he started units, and this is where, you know, the thing of hunting for the Ark of the Covenant and all of these things that you see in the Indiana Jones movies and all. But that stuff really happened, and he started a unit called Dr. Grunbaum, and that's a name of a person, but there was never a person. There was never a Dr. Grunbaum. That was just the name of the unit. But they started looking into Hebrew mysticism, the ancient documents and all that. And they were developing things like subliminal work, what the Russians wound up calling hypnosis at a distance. And they were developing these things. Well, when Hitler lost the war, the four main countries came in, and all four, Russia, Great Britain, France, and the U.S., started taking nuclear physicists, rocket scientists, and so on. Nobody's really interested in all this, you know, psychic warfare stuff except Russia. And so Russia took the Dr. Grunbaum people, and they started developing it in secret. Well, by the late 50s or early 60s, we were losing classified information just as though there was no bottom in the bucket, you know. And so they kept looking and looking and looking, and finally a Russian scientist who had been working on this problem, a guy named Pinkovsky, defected, or tried to defect. The KGB killed him, but we got the papers, and they're called the Pinkovsky papers, and we found out that Russia had these very effective psychic spies. Well, they decided, you know, everybody had a laugh about that, but then they decided, what if it actually works? And so they started a unit, and a unit of like two people, and that unit actually set up these things where they would find a psychic, have them spy on classified information of the U.S. because, you know, we could get feedback that way. The Russians wouldn't give us feedback, but would spy on classified information of the U.S. And what they found out was it was amazingly accurate, and it scared them. And they said, okay, we need to find two things. We need to find out how to do this ourselves, and we need to find out how to protect ourselves and our classified information from it. And so that's where the unit started back in the early 60s. They went out to Stanford Research Institute and hired two laser physicists to start working on this problem. And they did, and they got in touch with a guy named Ingo Swann in New York, and he came out and basically invented controlled remote viewing.
Huh. And so, I mean, that's just fascinating. So we have now, we're at this stage now where it was declassified in the 90s.
It was effectively declassified. It was never declassified. It was effectively declassified, which means that if we talk about it and say anything about it, it's okay. But there's always that kind of big rock hanging over our head that can drop any minute, because it was never actually declassified.
I imagine that now with all the things in the media, with all the psychics and remote viewing and all that coming up, that must be even confusing you. You know, you must have some superior training to have to resist, say, outside influences that would trigger your responses, perhaps, or a corrective behavior.
You just have to realize that we have a good thing, and everybody in the world is trying to jump on the bandwagon and call themselves remote viewers. When when this first came out, we had people on the internet advertising that they were palm remote viewers and crystal ball remote viewers and tea leaf remote viewers and so on. And a lot of that has died down, but there are still people out there who are claiming to be remote viewers who actually have no idea what the controlled remote viewing actually is.
And so this is my point. I think what I was saying was, in a way, if I were, if we were unknowingly contracted to work for another country, let's say, like, you know, that story, I think the Minority Report, where they have, is that the movie where they have, you know, three psychics in a pool and they're sort of put into a semi-sleep state and kept as hostages?
Oh yeah. I've seen part of that movie. I've never seen the whole thing.
It must trigger you, I imagine, but I mean, or maybe it's just a cheesy version of it. But I think that the idea is kind of terrifying. So let's say, you know, I would imagine or would hope that at least that information release would be intelligent. Or does it actually sort of nullify itself? Can when a remote viewer sees something, aren't they given something intelligently so that, you know, it doesn't annihilate even the enemy, because the enemy as a human may not have the same foreknowledge as perhaps the information has, and the information, the raw information.
I think I see what you're getting at. When we do remote viewing and we ask about a present target, we get a high degree of accuracy of information. When we are asked about past events, past places, and, you know, move back 100 years, now describe this location, and so on. And that tends to be highly accurate information. When you talk about the future, here's where everybody has their own theory and nobody agrees, you know. But give you an example here. Let's say that I view myself as I will be tomorrow afternoon, and I find out that I will be lying in the morgue dead because I had a car wreck. I'm not getting in the car tomorrow, you know. And so the future is definitely changeable. There have been many times, in fact, when they will say, where's the next terrorist attack? And we will do the information, provide the information for them, and they go prevent the attack. Now, that means that we were wrong. On paper, it means that we were wrong. But the fact is, the information that we provided changed the future.
I think that is fascinating for all of us that get rated online, by the way. Some pretty good news. speaking of us that are online, many of us are wondering, oh my goodness, could we be in any way we were recruited? Is this a still of an active operation? And with the current climate of where they're reconstructing ethics within the CIA and NSA, we want to know, is it still around?
I hope so. When you retire, they quit telling you things. And, you know, I've gotten the party line that it was all disbanded and doesn't exist anymore and all that. I seriously hope that they have it, because it would be stupid for them not to. But, of course, that changes the question to, does our government ever do anything stupid? And so I know the answer to that one. And so I really have no idea whether they still have a unit or not.
But you see, I think for you, I think what I'd love to know from you, from one of the originals, from the aspirations, the early days of the CIA, it was very new then when you joined, and what it is now. What recommendations? We say it's so obvious. We all say it would be so much easier if we run it. What would be your prime recommendation? Would it be attitude? Would it be counseling? How does one cope with the information?
Oh, how do you cope with the information? Many times you find out information that on a conscious level will scare you, will disgust you, will please you, will excite you, and so on. And you deal with it in the same manner you deal with information of each type that you read in the paper or whatever. You know, we have found out information about our government, other governments, and so forth that have just made us flaming angry, and you know, we fuss and fume and all that for a few days. And of course, the thing is, if you're a civilian, you can say something about it. We never could to anybody. Couldn't even go home and say anything about it. And so you deal with information the way you deal with any information. And, you know, a lot of people will say, yeah, the world's coming to an end, so what? I don't care, you know.
Hate that, yeah. Well, I wonder if, though, you get stronger over time.
Yes.
You know, many of us psychics don't have the training, so do you think that at least some of the training in a structured environment was very helpful to you being able to deal with this, at least knowing you're part of a team, you see, because most of us readers here, not that we can in any way say that, you know, we're on your level, but in terms of, I just think the support that we have, we're competitors to each other.
Yeah, I know, and that's a shame, because you could do so much more by cooperating. The controlled remote viewing was developed in such a way that it is a martial art, can be taught to anyone. And now and then, well, back when I was teaching, I would have one class a year for good natural psychics who could prove that they were good, not just claiming that, you know, for good natural psychics. And instead of teaching them the remote viewing part of it, which they were already good at, I would teach them the controls. And you, in the South, we have a saying called, it's a barn burner, you know. And I would watch the good natural psychics who had learned these controls and were no longer just at the mercy of their subconscious and or the psychic ability or whatever. And I would sit there and, you know, have them as my students, and I would sit there and watch them work. And going through my mind would be, not on my best day could I ever even touch that. just fantastic, amazing work once a good natural psychic learns to control the ability and learns to clearly talk with their own subconscious. It's just amazing.
But I think you have to be a nice person, don't you think?
Yes.
To be in this type of work.
One of the things about this is you learn very, very quickly that what goes around does come around. And if you try to hurt people, you get hurt. If you try to help people, you get help. And you know, from just unknown places. And ethics is an extremely important part of controlled remote viewing.
You're writing a book right now on ethics, which I think is I'm definitely going to buy. I mean, that's
yeah,
my...
It's
my,
for psychics, too. It's not only for controlled remote viewers, it's for remote viewers, natural psychics, and so on. There's a strong need for ethics in this field.
Absolutely, and I'm just going to be fascinated to see how that develops with you, because you're taking it from a standard model and you are adopting it to yours, and you've written to your experiences. And with the couple of minutes I have left, I wanted to make sure that, for one, I'd love to have you back and talk about at some point maybe, you know, remote influencing and maybe your work with computers, and if ever you have any extra time. And, you know, we want to make sure that we want to support your wife through her healing as well at this point and send her out some good thoughts. And please tell us a bit about your book before we go.
Okay. My book, The Seventh Sense, which is already out, and is one of the very, well, it's the only book that I know of right now that actually gives you exercises that will prepare you for doing the work and will take a natural psychic and actually strengthen their ability tenfold. Those exercises are in the appendix of the book. But the book itself is, it starts out with the day that I arrived at the unit and ends basically after I retired. And it tells what happens in the unit, what happened in the unit. It tells the unclassified things that can be told about what we did as a unit. And it tells what I learned as a person, as a member of society, as a member of a race, and so on. And it tells basically it lists my own personal growth because of the training and the information and knowledge that I got over that period of time.
Well, I can't wait to read it, and I'm just getting to know your field. It's fascinating. It is vast. It is highly specific. It is not spiritual. And I am just going to be devouring it over the next few months and can't wait to continue to get to know you. Lynn, thank you. Thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. I enjoy this.
Real respect for the work you do. I know it is extremely taxing. I'm just so glad that at this point it's somewhat more acceptable and out in the open. Though you must be wanting to tear your hair out because everybody is trying to emulate you. And they're getting it wrong. And,
the thing is, you know, what goes around does come around. And every time they get it wrong, hopefully they won't stick with the wrong and they'll say, hey, that didn't work. Maybe I should try something else. And I think that, you know, we've got 30 years under our belt, 40 years now under our belt. And when they get the 40 years under their belt, they'll be doing great too. So I think we had an easy learning process. They're taking the hard road, but I hope they'll get there.
I know. I think as long as they don't watch too much YouTube, they'll be all good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Lynn. Hey, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for introducing yourself to our guests and to our wonderful, wonderful listeners all across the world. And I am really looking forward to this being further developed and written into some really fantastic stories and reading your book as well. Thanks again. And
okay.
Please,
if you could give my website too, there's a lot of information about CRV on my website.
Absolutely coming up, Lynn. And we're going to just continue to talk about this when you're gone. It's just so bad that we have to disconnect right now. But we'll stay in touch. And if not, our subconscious will.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Well, that was really amazing. That was a real treat with Mr. Lynn Buchanan. So at the top of the hour now, we're going into the second portion of our show, and this is no longer the interview. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. So here they are. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so please be sure to have your pen and paper handy. And if you were unable to catch last week's event on Birth Mix Patterns by Maureen, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives to all our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. I want to remind you also of Lynn Buchanan's site, which is one moment, I'm going to get that site. I've just had my window go here. Going back to just my announcements. you're going to watch, you're going to hear here. Please feel free to share the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It is our objective to connect with as many people as possible. And so please be free to give this to anyone you know. And most people are very interested in this. Now, we have for the show's event, it is triple W, of course, CRVIEWER.com. That is Lynn Buchanan's site, CRVIEWER.com. And you can find the link as well on our website, psychicaccess.com. So on I go with my, we're going into, please be sure to visit our psychic bloggers to learn about everything from reincarnation to psychic development, empathy, and perhaps, possibly, remote viewing one day. If you're interested in a reading from some of the best professional psychics on the net, please come to our site. Come to us. Come to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with our own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and select from the list of some of our most authentic, gifted psychics. It is such an honor working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of the high expectations and ethical requirements that are required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like to have a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Now repeat that after me, PsychicAccess.com. Okay, say that fast 3 times. Great. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. Money, money. So for more details, do come in and visit us at http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room to listen to the psychic viewpoint. This is something for everyone. So please spread the word, share your ideas. And if you are a promising reader with a great psychic theory, please drop us a line. We'd love to interview you. And we also enjoy your patronage. Thank you. We very much appreciate it. So now we're at the portion of our call, almost there, for Colin. And if you don't mind, we were going to start opening up the lines at 9:15. And so I'll just give you guys the number for that, if you can just write it down. It is 724-444-4851. Again, that's 724-444-4851. And you can call in 15 minutes when the lines open. So this is the cool point. We've got all the announcements over and done with, guys. I'm going to start with Steve tonight, Mysterious Steve. What do you think of this? I could hear you asking questions, even in my mind. I felt your interest and saw some of the questions in your please go ahead and tell us what you thought of this interview.
Well, my first impression, Carmen, is what a wonderful guy. What a wonderful man of integrity and humility. You know, we often talk about eliminating the ego in our spiritual development and being humble and spiritual, godlike. And I think that, well, it's clear that Lynn is a wonderful example of somebody that's not at all egotistical about his ability or the work and projects that he's done. So that's the first thing that really struck me, to be honest.
Yeah, really. And I think probably just a pure, natural, healthy heart, like a natural soul.
Yeah, really, really great guy. Absolutely. And I really enjoyed how frank he was in the interview, but without being unprofessional. So, you know, you asked the question, do you think that the military and the government still conduct remote viewing? And his answer was, well, gosh, I hope so, because it's clearly very valuable. And I think it was very encouraging as well to hear that this is a tool that people can learn about, that we can develop psychic ability. Obviously, some people are born with a good level of psychic ability already, but we should all be developing, and he made that clear. And I thought it was a really fascinating and very down-to-earth, genuine, informative interview. I really enjoyed it, Carmen. I think you did a wonderful job getting lots of great information out of him as well.
Well, I mean, it was just such an interesting topic. And you also have a much of an interest, I believe, in some of this, Steve. To describe to me what you find fascinating about this type of work. I think I regard you as a highly professional psychic as well, and you have some interests and strategy as well.
Well, I was intrigued, actually, by your question about time. And I need to ask you a question, actually. I should probably not do that, but I feel inclined to ask you about the axis, because I wasn't sure I understood the concept of time being on two axes. Because you asked Lynn about that, and he agreed, or seemed to agree, but I wasn't sure I understood that concept.
Oh, I just remember it from the days of computer animation. You had the XYZ axis.
Yeah.
So that would be a three dimension. But I mean, there's probably more to that. So I just remember having dreams myself about XYZ axis.
Okay. I like that he said, oh, yeah, what you learned at school's rubbish. That we're not, and I believe that. We often talk about the fact that we know nothing, and we really don't even, I mean, you think of it, Carmen, we don't even understand where we are. Here I am sitting in my office on this great conference call with you at the Psychic Access radio show, looking out the window. I can see Knoxville lit up, and I know in the daytime I can see the mountains. I know I'm on planet Earth, but where is that? Where is it? Where are we?
I believe you're right here, Steve.
I know, but we don't even know really where we are. Where is planet Earth? Where is our solar system? Where is our galaxy? Where is our universe?
And on and on.
We think that we know so much, but we know diddly squat.
I laugh because when they show pictures of the Milky Way, sometimes I wonder if we're upside down, and we probably are on our side, yet we're oriented to think that we have to be straight because of gravity. All those things are quite fascinating, and yeah, it's a little bit mind-boggling. But I would almost have thought that it would be four-dimensional, so there must be another axis that maybe hasn't been described in math.
Yeah, or maybe many. And actually, I was reading, I can't remember what I was reading, Carmen. You know I like to read, but I can't remember which source it was I was looking at, but I was exploring the question about whether we actually are incarnated multiple times at the same time.
Oh, that,
so
yes.
Am I just sitting here in this office, or am I in other locations that I'm not consciously aware of? Or are you me?
I know. I think there's
all kinds of crazy questions like that.
No, that's why quantum physicists, they really don't get through life that easily, because they get stuck on those questions, and they really, time and space becomes plastic. And it's true. And it's as plastic. I wouldn't even go too deeply into it. Probably. I try not to. But it is like that, isn't it?
It is. I remember when I was a kid talking about, you know, having quite philosophical discussions with my dad, and he was a real agnostic or atheist, and I always had very strong spiritual beliefs and a very keen interest in metaphysics and an absolute conviction that there is an afterlife, that there's much more than this. And he used to say to me, well, you know, what if you're just living at the bottom of a baked bean can? Or what if our whole world, our whole solar system, our whole galaxy is just in the bottom of somebody's bag of potatoes? And we used to have these discussions about things like that, and I always just revolted to things like that because it seemed so meaningless, and I find life so meaningful.
I know, they're probably going to invent an anti-human biotic, do you know what I mean, one day, because we're these tiny little microbes on somebody's planet.
Yeah, and I remember having to study existentialism at university in France when I did French literature and philosophy, and that used to really irritate me because I find existentialism just completely depressing. I used to say in lectures, well, you know, if this is true, let's just top ourselves now. If it really is meaningless, then what's the point of sitting here? And I just would say that because I believe that life is absolutely meaningful, that every moment is meaningful, that every interaction, every person is meaningful. And even the plants and the clouds that pass by, it's all meaningful. It's all spirit.
I would say if you look too deeply into meaning, maybe it loses its meaning. So to some extent, ignorance at a certain point would be life, living. Thank you very much, Steve. And I come on to my next question with Maureen. What do you think?
Oh, well, yeah, it was a great interview. Thank you, Carmen. It was fantastic. Also, yeah, you know, I was just, in 2009, I took a 12-week program on remote viewing, certificate thing, and I just found I was looking at my old notes, I didn't know I even had them, and I forgot how interesting this was, because, first of all, I would like to say one thing he did bring up before I go on, about people went crazy, and they were all advertising themselves as remote viewers, is absolutely correct, it was irritating, very irritating to watch that. Still, there's a couple people that... They still proclaim to be remote viewers, and I know for a fact that they're not. Anyway, I wanted to say what we did, and it was like a 12-week program. It was like after that we could have gone further. I didn't do that, but it was quite boring, actually. But it was pretty intense. Actually, it was very fascinating. But what we did, control remote viewing, and it was with someone very credible, and he. Well, anyway, what we did, we had a target for the, if you want to hear about what we did, maybe.
Yeah.
You guys, okay. Anyway, yeah, there was like a target, actually. So what we would do is we would do a scan, we called it. It was controlled remote viewing, and the scan would be to where we'd have to, you know, try to clear our minds or whatever we do. And we would write down things like, well, I'll read it. We would do this. Okay, so they were focus questions, and so we would draw images or forms that we would receive, like almost like we try to close our eye, you know, get in a comfortable place, which was very hard for me because I'm hyper. But then we would the second question would be was there a firmness or density, like hard, soft, semi-hard, anything, we would get images, and then the third question would be like round, flat. So we would do a complete thing with these different things, and then we go to basic attribute, and then it was natural or movement, and it was pretty weird. This how we then we had to go to basic physical, so if there was any land or mountains or any water around it, and then we would do what our senses would pick up on. So like if we tasted any colors or sounds or temperatures. So then we would, you know, mark down all the stuff. And then the target, for instance, one target, for instance, was like Easter Island. Or there was one that had the Tibetan Bible flags, prayer flags on a hill. So that's the kind of targets he would use for us. You know, like I said, this was a beginner class. Do you follow me, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wonder if that's where they say, I spy with my little eye, animal, vegetable, mineral.
Oh, I don't know. That's interesting. Well, but it was incredible how things would come to be. So we were looking at not really worrying about being inaccurate, but what we would let ourselves just, you know, let go and try to pick up on. And there is, anybody can learn this. It's true. But it's become, like I said, so fashionable for people to say, I'm a remote viewer. Well, you know, I don't know. But like I said, it does take a lot of training. And I would love to continue this some other time, maybe in my life. But it fascinated me. And it was interesting how much better I would become at it after 12, you know, after what, 2 months. I became better at it. The targets. And they were doing something on Bin Laden at that time, by the way, Stephen.
But isn't that just a terrible word for targets, you know? If some of them are people they're helping, aren't they?
No, we called it, it was a controlled study, so he called them a remote viewing target for what we were doing to learn this. We had to have an image target in our head, whatever we didn't know we were picking up because we didn't know what the target was. That's what they call it. So if it's a person, I'm sure that they'd call them something else, but I wasn't at that degree yet. You know what I mean? I don't know what they call them. I'm just saying what I went through and the training I had, it started at that bare bones right there. So, you know, people think, oh, I can be a remote viewer, and they, you know, close their eyes and they pick on whatever is going on. And it just doesn't work like that because you've got to train yourself. You know, like he said, it comes naturally for some people that like I said, it was kind of tedious, actually. It wasn't all that glamorous.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
It discourages people from taking up the glam of it.
Yeah, but it sounds very glamorous for everybody to put themselves out there as, you know, or title themselves, label themselves on their bio or whatever. I'm a remote viewer. I see it all the time still, actually, but not as badly.
Well, I'm guilty of thinking I was one because I'm really good at drawing stuff that comes through. But that's that was just my mistake because I was linking it up the wrong way.
Well, no, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, there's automatic writers and everything like that, but is it called remote viewing? I don't know.
No, because I'm just drawing for fun.
Exactly. So there is a technical, like, there is a big, you know, intense whatever. Anybody can learn it. It's true. Yeah. So there you have
Maureen,
it.
Maureen, thank you. I'm sorry if the rest is so long. We've got so much to say about this. And Stephen, what do you think?
Yes. Well, you know,
I can hear your mind churning in the background.
Well, first of all, you know, Lynn is like Steve said, very humble, which is great for someone with his abilities, someone with his powers. However, you know, one thing that I'm automatically afraid of is the potential for abuse. You know, any military technology or law enforcement technology will carry with it the potential for abuse. And especially in this day and age we live in, where we seem to have traded many of our most basic civil liberties for increased security, or what we think is increased security, what I'm really scared of is that we'll allow progressively more and more, you know, sort of psychic intrusions from our government as this technology also becomes more popular. But by the same token, you know, I certainly would expect the government to be hush-hush about it as well, you know?
Yeah, I think that that's the danger of things going into the mainstream, you know? We have tons of people thinking they're empaths when they're telepaths and they don't have compassion. We have people that think they need to be psychic when maybe they don't. And I think, of course, the power issue mainly. I think the issue about always these insecure people, I think that would have to be a defining trait, perhaps, of eliminating, as, you know, security. Does this person have an abandonment disorder? You know, do they want to collect targets? You know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, do they want to have trophies? Do they want to power over, you know? You were saying about the police state. I mean, it's unfortunate because I think to some extent, you know, you have, is it the state or is it a corporation? You know, you've got corporate psychic America and corporate psychic Europe and corporate money and digital this and that, right? The danger is that it does not become defined within the government realm. That's what I find even more spurious.
Well, there's really no stark definition between government function and corporate function in this day and age anyway. And, you know, now we see all sorts of abuses that are coming out. And of course, you know, if most of the world cringes at the idea of the NSA, you know, peeking into their email or listening to their cellular phones, what do you think the reaction would be if the government had a device, a technology, an army of psyops, where they were able to read your mind?
Hey, Stephen, sorry to interrupt you, but
sure.
I've got a really good point here that somebody said this to me. Somebody in the know said this to me, made this comment to me the other day, and I froze. And you'll probably have the same reaction.
Great.
He mentioned these very violent video games that all of the kids are playing.
Right.
And he said, what a wonderful way to train an army.
Yeah, sure. I mean, those kids are going to be sharpshooters without ever even having handled a real weapon.
Scary, isn't it, though? The thought that that might be behind it is just spine-chilling. I froze.
Yeah, sure. It is spine-chilling, and you'll see the police state use children to a great degree. And you know, Hitler did it in the with the Hitlerjugend, the Hitler Youth, and you know, you can incentivize children to, you know, the police state will breed a generation of snitches, so to speak. And imagine what they would be able to do if they could read your mind.
Maybe the only solution to that would be, you know, there's only a certain level they could get to. They could just never become like an uber psychic. I mean, hopefully there wouldn't be a general in that kind of facility. That would be the only solution.
That assumes that the government would have the ability to circumscribe the remote viewer's talent once it became unleashed. You know, all of us who've seen Firestarter, you know, are right to be skeptical about the government's ability to do that. You know, once they waken the slumbering giant deep inside a person's subconscious, you know, how can you quantify, you know, how can you cut, you know, establish a limit to how much of that you want to wake up?
Caution, Stephen. It's not necessarily always the government. It's these corporations, you know, they take on the role. Like, yeah, I agree with you. And then comes the money.
With America, it's very hard to distinguish the two. We make a much out of the separation of church and state, but we've gone well beyond that in the modern era. We can't just stop it. So, you know, the American experiment was innovative in the sense that it realized you had to separate functions in the government. Okay, religion has no place here. It's out. But we stopped there. We need to separate corporation from government to the extent that we can. And instead, we've, you know, absolutely gone in the reverse direction. And so this is going to facilitate the implementation of a police state because people aren't going to like this. They're not going to like having their – when you have a government corporatized, what we do is we call that fascism. And again, so now you have all of these ugly sort of political – functions that are touching onto the psychic sphere and the potential for that disaster.
I think that's their plan, Stephen.
It could be.
I think, and the poor government, they're suckers. They don't know what to do with these guys. But you know what? As Lynn said, it all comes back around. And I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that in the stocks. And it's very unfortunate for us that have a stake in that. But it's a long project. And all these ideas are so valuable. Thank you so much, Stephen. Sure. And now we have caller time. We bring in a little bit of time for self-care for our random free caller. And caller is for Maureen from New York.
Thank you, Maureen. Hello. Hello, New York.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. May I have your name, please?
Anne.
Anne? Hi.
Yes.
What can I help you with?
I have a question. I have a follow-up question to a question I asked a couple of weeks ago. So there is somebody from high school who, the gentleman I talked to a couple of weeks ago told me not to contact this person because, you know, he thinks like, you know, I'm intruder into his marriage or something and he won't like it. And I want to kind of fix that relationship so I can talk to him again, like via email or Facebook or whatever. So how can I do that?
Okay, did you say he's married?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a relationship that is unbeknownst to his wife, between you two. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry, yeah. What?
This relationship with this person that you want to make contact with or resume contact with it's unbeknownst to his wife. His wife doesn't know your friends. Is that correct? I mean, is it something like,
I actually don't know. I just know that he figured out that I am interested in him and he just doesn't want to deal with it. Whether or not his wife is aware of anything, I don't know, but he's a friend from high school.
Right.
And I just...
Well, this is what I'm seeing. It looks like... what I'm seeing here is like... this is really bothering you. And I feel that with that said, regardless of what, you know, his response will be or anything else, I feel you should very well make contact with them. I do feel that it will do you much good. And I do see that he looks like he's extremely busy or he's really burnt out from working so hard. So if he doesn't, you know, if you reach out to him, I do see you reconnecting with him, though, within the next 8 weeks. 8 weeks is what I'm getting. But it won't be immediately. If you do reach out to him, if you're doing so just to try to, in order to get him to respond immediately, it may be that he won't respond to you as soon as you would like. But I do feel that, like, again, for your best interest, it will certainly give you a sense of relief to make contact with him. But it does look like there's a lot of stress in his life and he's exhausted from working, but I do see you reconnecting with somebody from the past, so I'm going to go on it being him. Physically, I see you connecting with him. you know.
But you see me connecting with him physically?
Not in a physical sense. I'm not talking in a I'm seen in a person form, personally. You know, I don't know if you've seen him, like, where his, you know, face-to-face.
So yeah, how should I contact him, by email or on Facebook?
Yes, I absolutely say, I feel you should, for your own best interest, because this is, I do feel that it's really bothersome to you. And so with that said, I don't feel that he'll reach back out. He will not respond to you very soon after. But I do see within the next 6 weeks following that, you may, yes, I do see that you might even, well, actually, I see you having a connection with them, person, face to face. So, to get some clarity.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, he hasn't blocked anything from me on Facebook, has he?
I don't see that he's blocked anything. I don't feel that he's been actually, he's not that type of, he's not busy in that kind of way with blocking you. Do you feel like he would need to block you?
Well, he hasn't, but sometimes I feel like I need to go to his page to see stuff that, and I see stuff that I don't see in my newsfeed. But would he be okay with my contacting him?
Well, I feel that he's actually going to be doing his own thing, overwhelmed in his own life. I don't feel that he's going to respond to you immediately. But like I said, I feel you should contact him for your own well-being, because this is really, really weighing on you heavily. It's draining you. It's upsetting to you. So that's why I feel you definitely should contact him. But not for the reason that you want to get a response from him. Do it for yourself. It feels like it'll be a big burden off your back.
Yeah, because the person I spoke to at your radio station a few weeks ago said to do not contact him or tag him or anything, because he will consider me a stalker then, and he will.
I don't know anything about that, or I don't know who you spoke to. I'm just saying what I'm getting right now. I'm reading for you now. I just want to make that clear. I'm not saying that person didn't say whatever they said was right or wrong, or what I'm saying is right or wrong. This is just what I'm getting. So, anyway, I hope I helped you, okay? I know you'll feel much better if you do just get it off your back. It just feels like it's just tormenting you very much. So, it'll feel a lot better just to do that, you know? And so, whatever you were told before, like I said, all I know is what I'm getting, and I hope I helped you, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wonderful. Thank you, Maureen. And you can contact Maureen at Psychic Access. And I just wanted to let you know that, you know, readings do change week to week. It is in a different perspective on every day of the week for your answers, just the way time works. So we have a question for Steve. We have somebody from Ontario, Canada.
Thank you. Who's calling from Ontario? Hello, Ontario. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Vicky.
Hi, Vicky. What's your question?
I'm currently separated, and I was wondering if you see when I would be getting this divorce, and if I would ever remarry again.
I do feel that you'll remarry, for sure. I'm looking at the cards for you, and the first card that I see in the past is the Four of Wands reversed. And, you know, it's usually, or in the Rider-Waite deck, it's a couple, and it's an image of a couple with a castle, a home behind them, and celebrating. But it's reversed, and it's in the past. And I've also got the Wish card reversed in the past for you. So the cards are showing quite clearly that you are calling about a relationship that ended. I feel that it wraps up in May, June, so I don't feel that it's too long to wait. And I know that you're an extremely loving, extremely creative and even artistic lady, and you're very desirable. The card for the present position is the Empress, which is a card that I love, a wonderful, loving, attractive, creative lady who has a strong sense of self and so much to offer. So that's who you are. And in the near future, we have the Wheel of Fortune upright. So there's going to be a sudden turn of events. And next to that, we've got a wonderful card, a gentleman with darker hair, who is somebody that's hardworking, that's pragmatic, that's well-established, and that is looking to share his life. I'm drawn to the months of May and October for you, and I feel that May is the ending, the finalization of your separation. And I don't feel it's a long time for you to meet this gentleman that wants to share his life. So this is a really nice outlook for you, although admittedly the last 2.5-3 years have been challenging. So it feels good. It feels very good.
If I could just very quickly ask, do you see any kind of settlement with this divorce?
I do, yes, I do. I'm not drawn to a huge amount of money. I'm drawn to tens of thousands rather than hundreds. But I'm drawn to between $50,000 and $90,000 intuitively. Is that roughly what you're expecting?
No, that wasn't what I was expecting, but I can certainly live on that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Good luck to you. Thanks for calling us.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Thank you. You can reach Steve at psychicaccess.com. Okay, I have a caller coming in, and my caller is from South Carolina. Hello, South Carolina person.
Hey, Carmen, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks for asking. Hey, what's your name?
Hey, it's Ariel.
Hi, Ariel. Hi, what can I do for you today?
Okay, well, I'm actually contacting you regarding my relationship. Apparently, we've been trying to more or less get pregnant, and things seem to be very, very stressful. There's a lot of things going on outside of the relationship, probably on his end, that he's not completely being truthful about. And I just want to find out, when do you see everything coming together? We've been together, it'll be 9 years in a week. So we're not married yet.
So how long? Okay, so you're trying to have a child, and some trust issues are coming through. And I just want to ask you what you want to know about the trust issues?
No. It's not anything with trust, just things are really rocky right now. So maybe that could be why the pregnancy hasn't happened as of yet, but...
Oh, for sure. Let me see if that will resolve. Yeah. And it says here, now, are you using any kind of financial, so it could be any kind of hormones or anything like that? It does say here, actually, it could be biological. It's not. I know you've been through all the testing, but it does say here either conflict about money that should get better, and this child shall arrive. So that is actually a very great reading you have here. Everything pretty much lining up. But yet he is feeling like it's a lot of work. And he may want to prefer to work on something that he gets results from. You know, like his job. And so I think that that's partly what seems to come up is when he gets a contract or when work improves as well. That will take off some of the stress from having to produce a child. And... you know, he's, I think he's getting confused, and I believe, to some extent, it says here, it doesn't mean he doesn't want to commit. You really have to understand that. It just seems to me like the joy has gone, and he really, really wanted this. So, for him, the association of having a kid was joy, and welcome. It is not always that easy, even from conception all the way up. And, you know, I feel like to some extent he could just be a little bit self-indulgent, but he'll be a wonderful father and to play with the children. So I would say just remind him of that, if you can, that any kind of problems that may arise in your relationship, this is a nice trick, but it's not a trick, but it's really true, that will be very useful in raising your child. And you will get one. Are you young enough? You didn't have to have any medicine or anything, right?
No medicine or anything like that. And I had a strong feeling that it would be this year that it would happen, but it hasn't happened yet. And we're having issues in the relationship more or less, you know, which could stress also has a factor probably, but he's got some issues going on, and I just, you know, we're kind of rocky right now, that's all.
I don't think he wants to go. I think that's all you need to take from this reading right now, is he's not going to go anywhere. He's just having a really difficult time, and he's really going to express that. He's going to pitch and yawn. That's what they say, yeah. You know, like a boat under pressure. Yeah. Yeah. And okay. That's just the way that goes. And then, you know what? You'll have a really positive experience when you do have the child. I mean, what a lift. I mean, it's almost like you have to experience the worst to really appreciate the things that one would take for granted, or not for granted, but it will be sweet when it comes. So, yeah, I wish you the best. And winter is so tough. So, checking for you. Yeah, it could be within eight months. Let's just hope that that's 8 months. I wonder what the stats are on conception. I'm not sure if it's higher in the winter. You could almost be pregnant in a few. Hopefully, I'm right. But you know, I don't say I'm a very good diagnosis reader, as a telepath. But sometimes I do scan and get this information. So just hang on to it. Don't take it seriously. But the empathic side says, you know, he doesn't want to go. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Now, best of luck to you, Ariel. I'm gonna. I look forward to hearing from you again. And, you know, touch base with me if you want. I'm Carmen. And, you know, at psychicaccess.com or any of us, actually, that may be more suited to pregnancy type readings. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be as bad as you think. But I wish you the best. I know it's very stressful.
Yeah, and I appreciate all your information. I wouldn't have been thrown if you would have told me in the next month or two, because I'm leading along those lines. But all it would have been is confirmation, but I do appreciate all your information anyway that you did give me. So thank you.
Hopefully by August you'll be nice and like 1 month pregnant, like after the summer. Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah, after the summer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Ariel. You take good care, hey? Thanks for calling.
You too. Thank you, Carmen.
Call us soon. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. Steven, bye. You have a call from New York.
Thank you very much, Carmen. Hello, New York. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Stephen. It's me.
Hi, and how are you? Thank you for calling. How may I help you?
I just want to know whether you see a timeline and if I have already met the guy.
Ah, I see. Okay, well, let's see. Have you already met the one, the guy who's going to give you a sincere, long-lasting relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. And, you know, I'm assuming you're talking about a gentleman that you're dating right now, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Now,
I do see that with him.
Coming back or whatever.
I'm sorry?
Or somebody coming back?
Ah, yes. Well, the possibility of someone coming back from your past, that's very high. The gentleman that you're dating right now, on the other hand, you know, I would expect his enthusiasm for the relationship to drop, however, as time goes on, which is a common pattern in a lot of relationships. However, a specific gentleman from your past, you will indeed hear from him again. Let's see if we can't quickly get a timeline on that for you, okay? I definitely see him coming back, and I can tell you right now that he thinks of you every day, and that even though he doesn't reach out to you as much as you would like, he's doing this on purpose. He is purposefully resisting the urge to call you, which is really sad. And, you know, he shouldn't do that, but it's something that we see people do in relationships a lot. They get this idea in their head that they're harmful somehow to their partner or something of that nature, and they become really hard to deal with. So I can tell you that he will reach out to you again. He will be coming back. It's going to take some time, though, okay? That's the one thing I want to prepare you for, is that it is going to take some time.
Which of the two are coming back? Which of the two will be coming back?
Well, for sure, you're going to hear from multiple exes from your past. You'll hear from the last relation, the last partner that you just broke up from, but mainly the one before that. Mainly, I would expect him for sure to try to become more of a presence in your life in the next coming weeks. Do you see?
Weeks. Okay.
Weeks, not quite months. Now, you know, weeks could be anywhere from like 4 to 6 to 2, you know. So it's not going to be a huge amount of time. But again, I would expect his enthusiasm to increase as time goes on. So it's just a situation of kind of, you know, waiting for the right time, you understand? Because if you respond to him too eagerly, once he comes back, if you respond to him too eagerly, too fast, then you'll lose some ground, you see. So okay. He'll start calling you again, and once he does, then, you know, you need to sort of let him know that he needs to reform himself, that you don't appreciate the silent treatment, for example. Do you see what I'm saying, Ann?
Mm-hmm.
You'll have an opportunity for a renewed sort of communication, not just a chance to communicate with him again, but a chance to establish a deeper and more true type of communication as well. Because he certainly shouldn't be able to expect that he can just breeze in and out of your life. So, you know, once you do start hearing from him again, it will be time to, you know, not scold him, but at least lay down some ground rules. Do you see what I'm saying, Ann?
But, like, I just messaged him yesterday, and he didn't respond. And the same for the other one today.
Right.
For the other one.
Well, see, you're taking too much initiative right now. You want to wait and gather more initiative from him first before you start becoming a little bit more aggressive with him. Do you see what I'm saying? It's too early now for you to take initiative with him. It's way too early for that, you know, because once you start doing that, reaching out to him first right now, then that's just going to confirm that, okay, he can repeat the same pattern that he repeated before. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, this is really going to be hard for you to do, especially once you get so close to achieving your goal. But what you want to do is to tone it down and wait for him to reach out to you first and let him do that for the next 5 or 6 times or so, okay? Next 4 or 5 times at least, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Ann, and you hang in there, okay?
Yep, thank you.
All righty, bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Stephen. That's very insightful, and I always like the man's point of view as well. I really need it. I really do. Oh, goodness. Thank goodness we have you guys. Okay, it's Maureen. You have a call from California.
Thank you. Hello, California. How are you? Hello? Hello? Hi, there you are. What's your name?
Jill?
Hi, Jill.
Joe.
What can I do for Joe? I'm sorry. Hi, Joe. What can I do for you?
Jill. It's Jill, like J-I-L-L.
Oh, I said it right then. Jill. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I said it right then. Hi, Jill.
I was calling. I called in, and I've spoken with Stephen a few times, and I'm just calling to check in on my situation. I'm pregnant 7 months now. My boyfriend and I, we broke up right before I found out I was pregnant, and things have been kind of rocky with us, and they're getting better. And I had my last ultrasound today. He wasn't able to go with me, but his mother went along with me, and she's been very supportive with everything. And after we got back, him and I were able to sit down and actually talk for a couple hours, which was really nice. We haven't done since we split up. So
okay.
I just kind of wanted to see how you thought that conversation went. And
okay, so this was just today. You were able to sit down after your ultrasound, but he wasn't able to make that. But he did. You had a good rapport today, is what you're saying? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
That's good. And you're 7 months. All right, that's really great. Well, you know, it does. I can see. Okay, I know we're not talking about the past, but I do see that there's some intense pain from the past. Okay, that has not yet been completely. Well, repaired, I guess. But my feeling is, you know, he looks like he's very he looks like his energy is very good. It's more the positive vibration, and I do feel he feels a lot more. He looks like he's very excited, in a very grounding way. He's very genuinely excited about what's going on. So if you spoke, you know, about the baby and everything, I don't feel. It just feels like he's a lot more present with that whole situation. But I also feel that there is still some things that are like almost like stagnating that have to do with some more intense, deeper stuff. But I get, you know, in some ways you kind of have to pick right now what you're going to want to cope deal with. But he does feel like he's much more present. I don't know if you felt that more so. He did. He's making an effort, and very much so. And I do see it to be very genuine and honest. It's very good, and that's the best thing, because later on you'll deal with the bigger picture of things. But it is kind of like the bigger picture of things are pushed to the side. I am feeling also he's going in a good direction in his life. There's like maybe opportunities and such. But it feels like your conversation, what went on today, was a really great start of what I feel will be a good basis for later being able to actually really go on the same path and direction. And I also feel that he'll be able to handle whatever's going to come, because after you have the baby, it's going to be different for you, and you're dealing with your relationship with him. But I do feel that it was a really great start. It was like a brand new feeling of a good start for today that will really be helpful, because there will be other things you'll need to deal with. It's very positive. I think he's really doing well. Not as fast as you'd like him to, but...
I understand. I mean, like, when we broke up, I always felt kind of like I was a little bit further ahead of him, like, in life, going in a good direction and everything, and that maybe that's why our relationship kind of, why it did, break down, I guess, was just because he was kind of a little further behind than me, or he wasn't ready for...
Yeah, well, there's a lot more depth to what's going on here, and what I feel is there's going to be some things that need to be repaired that has been stagnating. But yeah, whatever his demons are, whatever his lessons are, whether he's behind you or not, still I do feel at least there's a start to what's going on with him now, that those things will need to be addressed regardless if he's behind you or not. It doesn't really matter what his situation is. There's a lot of pain, definitely a lot of pain that has not been addressed. It will later be addressed, but right now I feel that it's a good start of his energy, definitely.
Okay. And pain from my end or from him or from both?
No, for him. It's him that needs to get it together. So your end is fine anyway. You know what I mean? And in fact, you're a good woman, and you've tolerated a lot, but you later. You know what? Right now, it's very good, and he's very sincere, and that's fantastic. You can trust him and his energy right now. But absolutely. But I do feel that later things he's getting himself geared up. I mean, without him knowing it, it'll have to be addressed. But right now, I think it's a great breakthrough. Absolutely.
Okay, and he's you do see us like the reconciliation in the future.
I see him heading in a direction where he's going to be capable of handling pain, pain as he needs to be held accountable. But right now, like I said, not right this moment, but it's a good start. Do you follow me? This is a good start
definitely.
For right now. And you're pregnant at 7 months. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I do see you. You're moving in a good direction. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And he's actually going to be going on a trip out of country for 3 weeks with a couple of buddies. I don't know if that's going to be a good time for him to kind of just think of things and get away from work and everything.
No, it's just more of a way for him not to deal with anything. It's much more important with your... he's lucky. He's going. You know what I mean? I just feel that that's good for him. But on the other hand, he needs to... right now... It'll be good, it'll be good for you while you're pregnant in the last couple months. But, Lee, I do feel it's a good start, okay? It's a good start.
Is there anything that you recommend that I do to help things go along?
Focus on your baby, and also later being open to the fact that some things need to be addressed later and feeling empowered. And I see you really happy. Really, I do. Okay. You'll feel really happy after having this baby, too.
Okay? Is it after the baby's care? Address them with him, or just later on?
Jill, I'm sorry. I need to move on to another caller right now. I'm sorry. I'm running out of time. But things are looking very positive, okay? Much better. Okay. Your energy looks much more uplifted, okay?
Okay, great.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you very
bye-bye.
Much. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, Maureen.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Okay. So we have our last call for Steve from Ohio for Obio.
Thank you. Who's calling from Ohio? Hello, Ohio?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Cappy.
Hi there, how are you doing?
I'm doing very fine, and you?
Doing very well, thank you. How can we help?
Yes, I was wondering to see if you... I've been on workers' comp, but haven't had any money in probably like a year and a half. But my lawyer is trying to get me back all my money. Do you see that going through?
So you've been on workers' comp, but you haven't been receiving any money for the last year and a half?
Yes.
Okay, so you want to understand if it's going to restart?
Yes.
Let me see.
I like your accent.
Oh, thank you. Let's have a look.
And if you can't do that, I just wondered if you see me getting back into reading tarot cards.
As well. Okay. Well, let me look at your first question. I feel that this will sort itself out, but I don't feel that it's imminent. I can see that you've had a tough time, but I do feel the situation is going to turn itself around. I feel like it takes about 4 months for the situation to be resolved. So you do need to be careful financially right now and plan very carefully. But I feel it turns around for you and it turns out well in about 4 months' time. But I also feel that at that time you will get a little more than you've been expecting. And on the tarot cards, well, absolutely. There's no reason why you shouldn't. The tarot is a wonderful system, and we can all master that system. So I really encourage you to go ahead and look at that. And remember that the Psychic Bloggers website has a huge amount of free information, and there'll be lots on tarot on there as well. Okay?
It's called the what? When is it called?
It's psychicbloggers.com. It's the Psychic Access blogging website. So all of the readers submit blogs, and there's loads of free information on there. You'll find a lot about tarot as well.
Okay. I used to read, but therefore I just haven't got out of it, so I just didn't know if I was going to pick it back up.
I feel that you should, for sure. And, you know, metaphysics gives you a lot of pleasure. Studying gives you a lot of pleasure. So allow yourself that pleasure, and it will help to lift your spirits and get you back on track.
Yes, I think so.
All right. And wish you lots of luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and God bless. And let your light
shine. God bless you, too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye, dear.
Oh, okay, great. And we have another call, Steve. I thought, I'm sorry, I apologize. I didn't know that yours wasn't the last call. You would have had a little more time. So I have a call myself from Florida. Hello, sunshine.
It's me, Patsy.
Hello.
This is Patsy.
Hi there, how are you?
Pretty good, and you? Oh my God, I can't believe
I'm back. Oh, good, thanks. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Hey. Yes, it was great. I have a question. I have a good friend of mine that he's suffering from severe depression, and we were dating for a while, and he went back to PA, but I was wondering if it was the right decision for him to go back. He doesn't really have the support of his family, and that worries me a lot.
Okay, so let's have a look here. So you want to get involved, and you're just looking at this, and you're not getting any support from your family.
Yeah, I'm worried.
Okay. Always makes it more interesting, though, doesn't it? I mean, that can strengthen the bond. And so let's see here. And right away, you get the Ten of Cups coming up right next to the Tower reversal.
Okay.
Any of you tarot readers out there, and I'm going to give you a quick lesson, that's absolutely bang on 100% family, ongoing drama. Okay? Fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm right on line with you right now. And then it seems to me like one of the persons or parents is perhaps interested in keeping the unit together for financial security. They have a money neurosis. It's like they'll try and scatter you, and they'll try and probably not support you financially, but you're still going to get married or become involved. That may mean a significant amount of falling back that he has to do on you for finances initially. As long as he's okay with that, just I feel like he is, but it is unfortunately just very demeaning and for him and demoralizing. And since you're a trip or a move will be in debt, like just suspended for now. So it's like saying that maybe they're just going to really not want you guys to move together in together. And then it's like, well, you know, you can probably abide by those rules for a while. But this is an ongoing drama and they have plans for him to be with somebody else. And I don't think it's very healthy. So you must imagine that, the step is going to be taken more than anything. His father is going to define it for some reason, help him make a decision. So maybe he's going to override the mother's request, even though he understands that the mother, you know, she's the matriarch. I don't see a resolution, like really quite right away. I probably would have to say that, you know, keep on going because there is, it says here ongoing drama. So it's something that you guys are going to be with for the rest of your lives. And in a sense, you know, you will get used to it. I promise you, you will. But it does say here that, you know, it would be so nice to welcome you and your family into this. And eventually, there's one female member that is going to be in agreement to adding her your partner. And she's going to be possibly a distant, somewhat removed family member. And her, she's actually, because she's impartial, going to be a very good advisor. And she's not stepping in now. She just knows the situation. And she's seen the dynamic before. And she's going to wait until she steps in. So hopefully this is his sister or somebody like that. But, you know, it says here something about study. So I don't know if your studies or, you know, it's tuition that's going to come together. It says probably that's going to disrupt a little bit of these plans that you have. Now, you know what? This is such an in-depth reading, I have to tell you, because it's going on, and I'm getting a huge read right from the onset with your reading, with the two cards that I have, all the way into, you know, halfway, more than halfway through the deck. I really would suggest saying that if you can, I'm going to give you a general yes, it'll be okay. I'm getting way more detail than that. I'm getting all kinds of family members. So, you know, if you're interested, you must call us back at psychicaccess.com. You get a free, you know, 6-minute reading that is not on air.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, you know, must, because this is too complex. But generally, it's all right, but I don't think the family is going to relax much. And, you know, you're going to have to take the leap.
Okay. So I'll call back then.
Yeah, sure, call me. Or, yeah, okay. I'm Carmen. I'm okay. Always here. And psychicaccess.com. And okay, I really appreciate
it's on
your
the
support.
Website, right?
Okay. Pardon me?
Okay, I'll go ahead and call back.
Oh, no, but I mean, you must. And do take this information, and it's okay. But thank you. And I look forward to getting to know you, hey?
Okay? Yes, awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, cool. So here, this brings us to the end of yet another wonderful interview. And thank you to Doug, the spectral Doug who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track. He's our executive producer, and he's there. And thank you to him. And thank you to our co-presenters for joining us tonight. All of you are wonderful. Thank you. And next week's show will be presented by Steve. Steve, what's going on for next week?
We've got a really interesting show next week, as always. And I'm looking forward to it. So everyone needs to remember that it's Thursday evening at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, same time each week. And we'll have Evans Bowen with us. We'll be talking about Thoth, the god of wisdom, also known as Hermes.
I think I always said that wrong. Thank you for giving me the proper
well,
pronunciation.
There are different pronunciations, so it may be that it's Toth in the US, but I've always said Toth.
That's going to be fascinating. That's so deeply esoteric. Really looking forward to that. I might not actually be able to make it, but this is going to be around the birthday week. But
Well, you know, the archives are always available for everybody, Carmen.
Yes, the archives, and of course our live psychics, everybody is here. We have 56 other psychics to select from, I believe. We have 60 in total. So come on back, and thank you so much for listening. Have a lovely evening, guys, and be good, because it'll come back to bite you. Okay, good night. Thank you.
Bye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.